says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those winning old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. You're tuned into the Trump Phenomenon here on May 3rd. 2020. I'm James Kelso, your host. This is a live program, and it's a two-hour edition, our Sunday edition, from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Our one-hour edition is Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 Eastern Time. We skip Saturdays to give you a breather, let you recover from all of my vulgarities. And by the way, I'll be treating you to some vulgarities in today's show, coming from one of the best writers in the business, John Nolte, who's a he must be a chief writer or one of the principals at Breitbart. This guy's a genius. And he doesn't, he's sounding a lot like Kelso in this essay I'm going to read. And he sounds like as if he subscribes to the idea that if you want to communicate to people that it's really serious and that we're going to hell in a handcart, a few colorful words may be useful. Effective. So the well, here we go. And let me see, what did I neglect to mention? That you can call in. Yes, you can. And you can add your own colorful language, although actually, please don't. don't say anything stronger than damn. At 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. And we'll update from our last meeting together here in the Trump Clubhouse last Friday and see how things have gone. Let me just give you my executive summary here. Have we gone downhill like a snowball headed for hell over the last 2 days? Or have we, has the Patriot train moved further down the Patriot track? Well, I'm going to withhold judgment on that. Let me think about it a little bit, but I'll give you data points so that maybe you can calculate. Everything is going great. All the good stuff that's happening, Joe Biden self-destructing, the DNC self-destructing, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, they're all doing everything they can to lose the election on November 3rd. So there, that's a good report there. Donald Trump on all the issues, I'm going to accept one issue, which is the lockdown. Accepting everything but the lockdown, Donald Trump is hitting home run after home run. The Mike Flynn case, oh, if we didn't have the lockdown going on right now, that Mike Flynn case would be a wooden stake through the heart of the Democrat demon rat party. Oh, would that be beautiful. But right now, you and I, as political addicts, we're paying attention and we're noticing everything that's going on with the Mike Flynn story. But you know what, Mr. and Mrs. America, I'm guessing, are not. They are obsessing on one thing only, the flu hysteria and the lockdown. Hysteria over the flu, not justified, wrong, shouldn't be hysterical about it, and the lockdown, which shouldn't even be happening. On those two stories, Donald Trump is losing. And it's a big one. It's a big one. And that losing has to stop. The hysteria over the flu has to end. And the lockdown has to end. Why? Because an hysterical people, the left knows this. I'm surprised that the president didn't see it coming. I don't think he saw it coming. The left knows this. How do you manipulate people? How do you stampede them? How do you maneuver them as a herd? How do you gain their obedience? Panic, war, famine, catastrophe. That's why, who was it that said this? Never let a good catastrophe go to waste. I may be misquoting slightly, but you get the idea. Never let a good crisis go to waste. They know this in their bones. They want a crisis. That's why they precipitated the Iraq war. Based on what? Hysteria? Lies? Was there any yellow cake? Were there any weapons of mass destruction? Was there any threat to America of any kind? Did Saddam Hussein have anything to do with any camel jockeys in turbans or other attire? Flying about in airplanes? No, he did not. In fact, he was a mortal enemy of theirs. Those terrorists didn't operate in Iraq, because if you operated your terrorist operation in Saddam Hussein's Iraq, guess what? You died. You disappeared and nobody saw you again. So the left knows this. Hysteria is what they want. That's their natural environment. That's where they want you to be, in hysteria. And then they can drive home their left-wing agenda. The Bolsheviks do this in 1917. In order to communize Russia and turn it into the Soviet Union, they needed to create hysteria and panic and herd behavior among the Russian people. The First World War, thank you, Kaiser. Thank you, all you idiots who started World War I. You killed Russia when you did that. The Russian army was having staggering losses, real losses, not like the flu hysteria. I mean, millions of Russians dying. The flower of Russia, not 85-year-old Russians, 19-year-old Russians dying by the millions. And that drove Russia into famine, into social chaos. And the Bolsheviks came right in on that. That was their opportunity. They knew it. They bailed out of New York City and got onto boats and headed for St. Petersburg, which they then pronounced renamed Leningrad when their Boy, Lenin got on a train. The Germans understood how this, they could beat Russia, bring Lenin out of Switzerland, put him on a German train, and send it to St. Petersburg. They knew the Bolsheviks would destroy, at that time, the German enemy, Russia. And they did. They took Russia out of the war on the Eastern Front, which made it all the more amazing that Germany was humiliated at the Treaty of Versailles, because they didn't even have an opponent on the Eastern Front anymore. So anyway, that's another story for another time. But Donald Trump should have known this. The left thrives on, the left loves their lockdowns. They love crisis. They love panic. So he should never have allowed them to precipitate hysteria over what? A runny nose, a cold, a slight fever. Some of these people who experienced the coronavirus fever say it lasted 3 hours. Most people who've had the virus don't know it, never experienced any symptoms, and are quite surprised when their test comes back, their swab says, you have had the coronavirus. That's how devastating that illness is. So we'll talk about that. And then the second thing is the lockdown. Donald Trump is not. Don't let him start a panic. When you saw them doing that, a red light should have gone off on your dashboard. Beep, beep, beep. Left wing excited. Left wing aroused. Beep, beep. Rachel Maddow is aroused. Beep, beep, beep. And don't go along with whatever's got them aroused. That's all you need to know. Don't go along with that. Then the second mistake. In their state of arousal, they then implemented. How did this get started? We'll ask that question. The lockdown. How the hell did the worldwide lockdown, but we're concerned about America. We're not just, you know, we're not a carbon copy of the rest of the world. How did the lockdown get started in America? We'll talk about that in tonight's show. I want to get into that. Now answer me this question. Name me an American governor, Republican or Democrat, who didn't go along with the herd, who didn't join the lemmings and go sailing off the cliff. Name me one. There isn't one. Don't waste your time trying to think of one. There isn't one. Name me a major city mayor who didn't go along. I don't know of one. There might be a mayor out there somewhere. There are some sheriffs who have dissented to some degree. I salute them. Why didn't somebody dissent with the idea that a lockdown is the cure? First of all, we had a hyped up disease, hyped up about, let's see, little Anthony Fauci, this puke. I don't want to see his face on TV. Could somebody please find a way to get him off of my TV? Little Anthony Fauci, who would never get on TV, except he's spouting this left-wing nostrum of lockdown. Fauci said 2.2 million of us are going to die here in America of the mysterious coronavirus. Okay, now let me look at the score right now. I'll go look at the score here in just a moment. He was only off by a factor of, let's see, 2.2 million. 2,200 would be off by a factor of 1,000, and multiply that times 30. He's off by a factor of 300? 300 times? Can you name any business or enterprise in life where you can be off? Your margin of error can be 300 times, and you still keep your job? Or you're still allowed anywhere near? Can you name a machinist operation in the automotive industry where if the tolerance is 1/10,000th of an inch, many things are, 1/10,000th, you're making a crankshaft, let's say, and instead of being having a tolerance of 1/10,000th of an inch, it's so hard to figure, it's so bad. Instead, you're off by, let's see, what would 1/10,000th of an inch times 300 be? Hang on just a second. I'm not in a mathematical frame of mind right now. If you were off by 1,000 times, it would be 1/10 of an inch. So it would be 1/30th of an inch. Can you imagine a crankshaft, how a crankshaft would run where the bearings were either loose or tight by 1/30th of an inch? I mean, ladies and gentlemen, that engine would run for a maximum of 5 seconds before it seized, if you could get it to crank over. You couldn't get it. Imagine if also that the bearings, that the rings in the pistons were off by 1/30th of an inch, and the valve seats were off by 1/30th of an inch. Folks, that ain't going to happen. That motor isn't going to run. Put that in an airplane in the air and everybody's dead. You can't do anything in life where you're off by a factor of 300. If somebody told you, reported into the boss that we had a profit here of this quarter, we made the profit here in our little business was $300,000. But actually the profit was $1,000. Would the boss keep you on as the accountant? We made 300,000, boss, but you only made 1,000. I don't think so. So it gets even worse. What if we reported that we made 150,000, but you actually lost 149,000? Yeah, you don't keep that guy. You point to the door. You don't even need to say anything. Just make sure he's escorted out and you get his keys. So and a restraining order, so he can't come back in the building. So let's go to, my executive summary. Donald Trump is doing well in everything, absolutely everything, except the only thing that counts. Because it's the only thing anybody's paying attention to, the flu pandemic, hysteria, and the lockdown. And is he doing all that he could to end the hysteria, A, and B, end the lockdown? No, he's not. And if he doesn't end the lockdown, it may already be too late. But if he doesn't end the lockdown fast, he's not going to win on November 3rd. I don't care who the Democrat nominee is. I don't care if it's Rachel Maddow. Rachel Maddow would beat him if somebody doesn't get back to work. Now, let me depress you even further. I hate to mess up your Sunday here. I saw a thing on TV this morning talking about the fact that we're told that we have 30.3 million people who have now newly filed for unemployment in 6 weeks. 30.3 million in 6 weeks. That's worse than even proportionally worse than the Great Depression, I believe. Now, but hey, I need to get you more depressed than that. This person was talking about the fact that there are millions, listen closely, there are millions of people who have lost their jobs, but can't get through the bureaucracy of the unemployment, state and federal unemployment procedures. I don't know what they are. I've never used it. But I can just imagine. So I saw interviews with people who showed their phone records that they had like a list of hundreds of unanswered phone calls, hundreds on their phone record in their cell phone. They can't get through. And here's what I heard, that this person speculated, this was an economist, that there are 14 million more people who are unemployed who simply haven't been able to get on the rolls yet. So that the number is not 30.3 million, it's 44.3 million. Now, I saw a person, when that was told to the person I was watching on TV, who was one of these talking heads, it was a look of terror on that person's face, because that is terrifying. If the number's not 30.3 million, but 44.3 million, that's a whole lot of families that don't have an income. And those that do have an income from the federal government, which includes the $600 per week bonus for being unemployed, that's another case where you jumped out of the pan and right into the fire. Now you've created a whole class of millions of people who have no incentive to go back to work, even if they can. And they're getting paid from where? Where is all that money coming from that they're being paid for not working? Is it coming from the man in the moon? Is it coming from Santa Claus, the tooth fairy? Or is it coming from you? Yeah, that's right. The last choice is correct. It's coming from you. That's money that's being paid to those people that you will have to repay. Well, maybe not you. Maybe, hey, this would be nice, wouldn't it? Instead of you paying it back, how about your children? Isn't that better? Or your grandchildren? Isn't that fun? Who would enjoy that? I get to force my son or daughter or my grandchildren to pay this debt that was incurred because I didn't have the guts to fight my government. That's what we're all going to be accountable for. That's what we're all going to be answerable for. If we let this happen, when your grandchildren say, where were you, Grandpa, when we ran up $20 trillion in debt, which I am now repaying, and when the Bill of Rights was repealed, where were you, Grandpa? Oh, I was, that's not a good enough answer. Now, we get on to another theme I want to talk about today. And that's this. Let's see. There we go. I'm just looking for your spot where you can call in at 800-313-9443. Where do the 50, I want to explain this. I'm asking the question in today's show is the snowball rolling down, are we rolling downhill like a snowball headed for hell? Well, those who want to argue in the affirmative, name me that governor who somewhere in their experience had heard of the Bill of Rights. That governor who somewhere remembered that they swore on a Bible to defend the Constitution, which includes the Bill of Rights. Name me that governor who defended the Bill of Rights. You can't, because there ain't none. There's not one damn governor in the United States of America, Republican or Democrat, who did even a half-assed job of defending the Bill of Rights. Not one, and not even half-assed. That's bad, folks. That's real bad. And that's a snowball that is headed for hell. There might as well not be a Bill of Rights. If you're told arbitrarily by a governor, by the way, there are no acts of any legislature involved in any of this. There may be the exception that proves the rule. These are diktats by governors who no governor has the power of making law. No governor. They have the power of enforcing laws passed by elected legislators after debate, after hearings, after input from the people that elected them and pay their damn salaries. There's not one legislator in America, not one governor, who should be drawing a salary right now, unless you can acquaint me with somebody like Lieutenant Governor, what's his name, of Texas. I'll remember it in a second here. That guy's good. But a governor who says you can't, that I'm putting you under house arrest. You cannot leave your house. If you go outside your house, you've seen the video on TV of cops accosting people in their own yard, accusing them of being outdoors. And the cops are standing on the other person's property, trespassing on your property, saying you can't come out your front door. What would the Patriots at Concord Bridge say about that? What would the patriots who died at Lexington say about that? They were fighting a stamp act that was less than one penny on a dollar. And you're going to settle for people that tell you you can't leave your house, that you can't drive your car, you can't fly in an airplane, you can't go to the store, you will not be allowed in the store, the store is closed, let's say the store, you own the store. No, you don't. You don't own your damn store. The government does. Because the government, with no constitutional authority whatsoever, has closed your store. That, my friends, is a dictatorship. That is a Bolshevik nation. That is a communist revolution that has won. President Fauci has won. What was his title of Lenin? First Secretary? Gensec? General Secretary? Yeah, the Gensec. The General Secretary Lenin. General Secretary Fauci has won. Sub-Commissar Donald Trump has lost. Fauci gives the orders. When Fauci says jump, Donald Trump says how high? Sorry to have to say that, folks, of the man I admire the most. He has days to get this economy. He has days to cancel these unconstitutional orders from governors like this witch, Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan. And it's not enough to wait for the people, like, well, maybe the people will rise up. No, they're trusting you, Mr. President. You have the power now. You can tell Gretchen Whitmer to go to hell. You can tell her that the Bill of Rights is not going to be traduced by Gretchen Whitmer. The people need a leader. They're waiting to see what you will do. Do it. Now, while we're speaking of this, this might be a pretty depressing show. I might find a way to make it encouraging by the end of the 2 hours, but I'm going to have to think of something. Let's see. So those, I want to stay kind of on the central themes, and there's so much going on. I don't want to get tangled in the weeds too much right now. Let's go to one of my central themes. My first theme was the freak out. The panic, the hysteria, has no basis in science. None. No basis in science. No basis in actual medicine. And it's all, let me use the term, I'll find it, the John Nolte essay. John Nolte uses the right term. It's all bullshit. That's right. A nicer word doesn't say it. You know, nonsense. Baloney. It doesn't say it. Bullshit! That's what it is. It's something that's more, it's worse than simply not true. It's worse than wrong. What is the word? We got to find the English word. I don't mean to be vulgar, but we need to find an English word that says something is really, really wrong, and it's a threat to your life. And it's a threat to your family. And it's a threat, a dire threat, a moral threat to everything you love. Now, does wrong do that? Does nonsense do that? No. Bullshit. That's what it is. And that's what you say to somebody out in the street. If somebody is going to do something that's going to harm you and, more importantly, harm your children, you tell them, hey, buddy, bullshit. That's not happening, jackass. You use strong language. You don't say, you're wrong, sir. You're incorrect, sir. And I will intervene to do the best I can to make sure you don't do that, that you don't harm my child. I will make a strong effort to prevent you from harming my child. Is that the way the language goes? Huh? Is that the way it goes? No, it goes real male, it goes real loud, it goes real fast, and it gets real colorful. And it doesn't just stop at language. Ask the patriots at Concord Bridge, who include ancestors of mine who died at Lexington before Concord. They died and lost at Lexington before they died and won at Concord. And I have relatives in both groups. Ancestors, blood ancestors, grandfathers and mothers. So what would they think of me now or us? I don't think much. I don't think much. They'd say, wow, you guys turned out to be wimps. Why did we die? What do we die for? Wimpiness like this?
The timber cracked and men.
We'll be right back.
Miners were praying and hearts beat fast, and everybody thought that they'd breathe their last, except John. Through the dust and the smoke of this man-made hell walked a giant of a man that the miners knew well, grabbed a sagging timber and gave out with a groan, and like a giant oak tree just stood there alone, Big John.
Big John. It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Big John, Big John.
Every morning at the mine you could see him arrive. He stood 6 foot six and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Big John, Big John.
Big Bad John,
Big John.
Nobody seemed to know where John called home. He just drifted into town and stayed all alone. He didn't say much. He kind of quiet and shy. And if you spoke at all, you just said hi to Big John. Somebody said he came from New Orleans, where he got in a fight over a Cajun queen, and a crashing blow from a huge right hand sent a Louisiana fella to the promised land, Big John.
We are back. And now I'm going to go back to a theme I've carried that validates point number one. The freak out, the panic, it's all garbage. Tone my language down just for a second. I'll let John Nolte, kick it up a notch in just a moment. Kick it back up a notch. So the panic, the freak out, okay? What's our best evidence that there was never a need to freak out? The best evidence we have that the president is ignoring. In fact, worse than that, the president is denying it. I can't believe it. He's actually denying that Sweden proves the way he does it in his Twitter with all caps, proves, exclamation mark, that there was never a need for a lockdown, that the flu was not the worst flu in history, not even close, not that special, nothing horrific about it, nothing to gasp about. Doesn't even touch children. You know, our greatest concern in life is for children. This flu doesn't even touch children. The fatality rate is 0 in 100,000 for children. And children, I'm saying anybody under 18. Those are some not even children there. 0 to 18 fatality rate, 0 per 100,000. Hey, I'm done. That's not a lethal disease. Any disease that doesn't touch the children is not a lethal disease. and then it touches lightly on the age groups above that, and then only sets in and takes a usual toll, a usual flu toll among people 70 years and older, like me. I'll be 72 in a couple weeks. And even among that group, my cohort, it's a very acceptable risk. And furthermore, it's not a risk you can avoid. Locking down doesn't avert the risk. Oh my God, how stupid is a lockdown? But now let's go to Sweden. The president, somebody, this witch Birx, or this Frankenstein Fauci-stein, has somehow brainwashed the president into thinking Sweden has had a really rough time in this flu. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Mr. President, even if you look at the CDC's own numbers on the Johns Hopkins website, which you know you can't actually trust because the numbers are padded, but even the padded numbers show clearly that Sweden did much better than everybody else. And don't go with Rachel Maddow's use of Norway, Finland, and Denmark. Hey, there are a lot of other nations, and those are not representative nations. Those each have 5 million people. They're each incredibly affluent, incredibly homogeneous, and incredibly healthy places to live. So they're going to have a low death rate in anything. But if you compare Sweden to, and I will do it in just a moment, Spain, Italy, the United Kingdom, France, the United States, Belgium, they've done infinitely better than we have. Now, that story continues. Since we last, I want to show that this is not a one-time thing. It's a continuing fact. How did the Swedes do since Friday? If, Mr. President, if you're right, the Swedes are dying like flies, let's see how many flies died in Sweden since Friday. Okay, let's see. Horrible, horrible Swedish. No lockdown. No freak out. 26 Swedes have died since Friday. 26. 26. In a nation of 11 million people. Belgium, another nation of 11 million, has had, since Friday, 141 people die. Now that's, by the way, that illustrates that the flu is just about gone. That's a very low number. Belgium, 141. For the annual flu, I'll take that. You're doing good. 141 oldsters died in Belgium since Friday. But in Sweden, same size nation, it's 26. That's less than a fifth of the number that died in Belgium, which is a total lockdown nation. Lockdowns work, right? They prevent illness, right? They prevent deaths, right? Lockdowns save lives. Wash your hands, scrub your hands, put a paper bag over your head, get a hazmat suit, spray yourself with disinfectant. Hide in the bathroom. Put a towel under the door. Cover up the window. Don't let anybody see in there. And you're going to save lives? No. Go to the beach. Get your surfboard out. Of course, they don't surf much in Sweden. Go to the cafe. Go to kindergarten if you're in Sweden. Play with the other kids. Get dirty in the dirt. Build a Viking boat. Launch it in a pond. Scream and yell, pull a little girl's hair. Play checkers if you're an oldster with your friends. Go visit great grandma. Share a meal. Break bread together. Don't wear rubber gloves. My God. And you know what? You're going to live. You're going to live in Sweden. You're going to die in Belgium comparatively. But that's not the worst of it. Dying isn't the worst of it. The worst of it is everybody that's agreed to the damn lockdown just gave up their freedom. I think that was the last word. Didn't William Wallace, before he was drawn, hung, and quartered, Didn't he yell, it's certainly in the movie, Braveheart, freedom! From the gallows. Freedom! He gladly would give up his life before he would give up his freedom. And wasn't that what William Wallace said to the Scots assembled before him? You may take our lives, but you will not take our freedom! And that was the inspiring line that got the Scots to fight. But the Belgians gave up their freedom. We gave up our freedom. And folks, we gave it up. We let them tell us that you can't leave your house, that you can't visit grandma, that you can't have a picnic, that your children can't go to school. That's the only good idea that's in there. But for the wrong reason. We gave up our freedom. And then there's another thing we gave, two other things we gave up. You know, you can be a slave, but be comfortable for a while. You know, as William Wallace said there in that speech he made, you know, you'll live for a while. But in your bed someday, when you're old, would you give anything to have been here? And to have fought for your freedom. They gave up their prosperity. Even that they've given up. We've given it up. 30.3 million unemployed, new unemployed in 6 weeks. And it might be 44 million. And add to that another, on Tuesday or Wednesday, we learn another number of new applications of at least those who could get through the damn phone lines or the broken computer connections to the damn bureaucracy. How many Americans have lost their jobs? Nobody even knows. And the number's not going down. It's going up. It gets worse. My sixth cousin, Warren Buffett, he just sold all his airline stocks and took a big loss. Why did Warren Buffett sell all of his airline stocks? And by the way, in the middle, he sold all his airline stocks and then put out a statement saying, you know, what do they call this? Whistling past the graveyard. America will not go down. America always fights and always wins. American ingenuity always comes to the fore. We will work our way out. No, come on, Warren Buffett. Why'd you sell your damn airline stock and take a huge loss? Because you know how bad it really is. With these bastards like Fauci running America, President Fauci, under his rule, how will they ever open an airline again? How will anyone ever travel on an airplane again? And can you have a modern civilization with no airplanes? There's no way to meet the damn CDC standards or the president's damn standards and be on an airplane. You're in an aluminum tube with 120 other people. And you're all cheek to jowl, butt up against each other. You're breathing each other's air. Forget about this damn CDC crap. Every single person in that plane would have to be in a duct tape strapped hazmat suit with an oxygen tank. The airlines are going to flatline, all of them. The occupancy rate on airplanes right now, are you ready for this, is 5%. 5%! You think an airline can run on that? No, they can't. And the president's got to lose this stupid idea that we're somehow going to meet the guidelines. Go to hell with the guidelines! That's the soft bureaucracy of administrators who all they're doing is setting, it's not a dictatorship, it's just guidelines. We have to have 14 damn continuous days of reduce this and reduce that, and we got to have this many parts per million of this. Go to hell with that crap. We deserve freedom. Freedom is our God-given right. No matter what's happening with the damn hospitals, which, by the way, are all empty. And they're all going broke.
figure that one out. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. In the middle of, right, according to Fauci, the worst health crisis in American history, all the hospitals are A, empty, B, going broke. They're laying off nurses and doctors and sending them home. And a lot of them aren't going to reopen. And they're all begging for hundreds of billions of dollars from Donald Trump. All the governors want hundreds of billions of dollars. Nancy Puke Pelosi wants $1 trillion. I remember in my youth when the American national debt was $100 billion. The whole damn thing, including everything incurred during World War II, which was entirely financed on debt. She wants $1 trillion as an afterthought. Why don't we call her President Pelosi too? We've lost control, folks. We elected Donald Trump, but hey, he's not in charge. He's not in charge. Bill of Rights is repealed. There's no challenge to it even. And some of these people know it. I watched Judge Napolitano on TV. Sheltering in place from wherever the hell he lives. He looked like hell. Napolitano, who's been stabbing Donald Trump in the back all the way, he looked like hell because at least he understands, at least he knows. He knows about the Bill of Rights, and he understands it's gone. And it showed on his face. He'd probably been drinking. He looked like hell. So let me go to some more data here. Another story. Okay, let me make you even more depressed. Lindsey Graham. I want to talk about rhinos now. Normally, you don't talk about Lindsey Graham as a rhino. You talk about Mitt Romney, John McCain, Paul Ryan. Those are your rhinos. How about Lindsey Graham as a rhino? I saw something, I think it was this morning. I saw Maria Bartiromo, her Sunday morning show. It was damn good. Well done, Maria Bartiromo. She had this puke, Lindsey Graham, on her show. And she asked a line of questions that was devastating against this piece of garbage. Poor excuse for a man. Lindsey Graham is the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. That is the committee that has the power, all the power that's left, actually, to patriots, to investigate the treason committed by James Comey, Peter Strzok, Andrew McCabe, blah, 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 this guy Bill Priestep, new name for many of us. He has the authority to put people under oath, to subpoena evidence, and this piece of garbage. So let me build the story a little bit. So Maria Bartiromo said, okay, look what we've got here. Look how bad it is. And she asked him a series of questions. She said, she had it all written down on a piece of paper. She said on January, blah, 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 of 2017, on March of 2018, on July of 2018, in the June of 2019, you, Lindsey Graham, you said as chairman of the Judiciary Committee that you were going to subpoena this person, you were going to demand testimony from this person, and you were going to subpoena these documents. Again and again and again, Lindsey Graham, you're bullshit. You're just talk, and that's a rhino. I've got your game now, Lindsey Graham. It's all talk, no walk. You're as much of a rhino as Paul Ryan. You are not even on our side. You are the chairman. You have the power, and you know what? And she said, why aren't you calling people? Why aren't you subpoenaing documents and people? Why aren't you holding hearings? And she was insistent, and I give her 5 gold stars for this. And Lindsey Graham looked like he was being roasted over a fire as she asked her question. And as she went through the evidence. On this day, you said this. On this day, you said this. And he was squirming. He wanted to be anywhere else. He wanted to jump under the table. But she wouldn't let him. And she said, when are you going to act? When are you going to actually do any of this stuff you've been saying for years? And you know what the answer is, folks? Lindsey Graham is never going to do a damn thing. Never. His job is to get in the way, just the way Paul Ryan, just the way Mitt Romney. Lindsey Graham is a rhino. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cyber crimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With patriotinternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, patriotinternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from patriotinternet.com. Visit patriotinternet.com today.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
I wish a buck was still silver. It was back when the country was strong. Back before Elvis, before the Vietnam War. Before the Beatles and yesterday, when a man could still work, still would. The best of the free life behind. behind us now. And are the good times really over for good? And are we rolling downhill like a snowball headed for hell?
We're back, folks.
With no kind of chance.
And I was talking about Lindsey Graham, the Rhino. And I didn't give you the best part of the whole thing. The worst part, the best part. Certainly the worst for Rhino Lindsey Graham, U.S. Senator from South Carolina, and a disgrace to conservatism and to America. And not a patriot. Because with power comes responsibility. He's the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. It's his committee that will either investigate and find out the truth with power, or it will block any investigation by not doing it. And that's Lindsey Graham's job, folks. That's his job in the deep state. Lindsey Graham is part of the deep state. He goes on TV and talks in a way to get you excited. But when it comes to doing something that can hurt the deep state, Lindsey Graham's job is to prevent that from happening. Got it? How do I know? Because when Maria Bartiromo said, with all that we've got here, with this Bill Priestep notes, where they're actually writing down their crimes, which are acts of treason, they're writing them down. We have this information. Patriots like Devin Nunes and Jim Jordan have gotten this by a miracle. They've gotten these documents out of the government. She asked this piece of crud, Lindsey Graham, are you going to pursue this? And he said, here was his answer. The answer is no. He didn't say no. He said, all red in the face and all indignant to this very germane, essential question from Maria Bartiromo, the patriot, he said, I'm not going to interfere with an ongoing investigation. Lindsey Graham, you can go to hell. That is the most crappy, weak-kneed answer. Couldn't you have come up with something better, a better lie than that? That actually was a piece of truth. I'm not going to interfere in an ongoing investigation. Okay, now, folks, that's a one-size-fits-all answer. Somebody who's the head of an investigating committee who's not going to interfere in an investigation, yeah, I'm going to tell you what his real job is. We'll come right back. Stay tuned.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. The because you can handle the truth.